Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning, we're delighted to welcome in the executive director of Haven House, located in Merrillville, my friend Valerie Day. Hi, Valerie.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Now, I've known you from previous jobs you've held in our community, and we're delighted that you are now in charge of Haven House. So give us a little description as to what is your mission there in Merrillville.
Sure. Haven House has actually been in existence in Blount County for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And we're the domestic violence agency in Blount County. However, we serve women and children from all over the East Tennessee area.
So when you're talking about violence victims, that's one of the things that strikes me about your website. When you go to havenhousetn.org, the first thing that comes up is a warning and a way to get off that website quickly should the bad guy look over your shoulder. And I recommend you just go try that because it puts you in the mindset, just as you're listening, as you're going about your daily internet activities today, it all of a sudden gives you an opportunity to feel the panic that an abuse victim must feel just for looking something up on the internet.
Sure. And that's why it's so counterintuitive, domestic violence in the home, because we usually only hear about it or see about it when it's become physical and there's an actual assault or an actual crime committed. Mm-hmm. But domestic violence and domestic abuse starts long before that. And part of it is that coercion, the control, where the abuser has control over what you read, what you look at on TV, what you eat, how you dress, even your name. I mean, we have had people in our home that have had their whole lives controlled by an abuser.
Wow. So this is an opportunity for them to look up some information, to find out how they can escape from that abusive relationship. But then when the time comes, you click one button and it looks like you're just back at Google.
Exactly. And sometimes some of the abusers, they're very, especially with the technology that we have, they can look back and see what you've been looking at on the internet.
Oh, sure. Control H.
Yes.
It's that basic. That's how you look up the history on your browser.
And one of the things that we do with the clients that we serve is actually what we call safety planning. And the technology piece is definitely one of the pieces that we walk through, you know, making sure that you're not Facebooking where you can find your location. So there's a lot of safety planning that goes in with the new technology.
Oh, my gosh. Because I know that if, let's say, you were searching out refuge from an abuser and you didn't want him, as we'll assume it's him, look at your history, you can, you know, clear it out, and you should learn how to do that online. Or some of the newer browsers have ways to, you know, sort of browse anonymously. And that's something else. If you're looking up that escape from a life of violence, it's important that you learn how to do that.
Absolutely. And we talk about that with our clients that call into the hotline as well.
We're talking with Valerie Day. She's the chief executive officer of Haven House in Merrillville, a shelter for abused women. Now, when a woman comes to Haven House, or is how do you find her? How does she find you? Is it through the courts or just through the internet like we're talking about?
Good question. All of the above. We have a hotline. It's 865-982-1087. And that's certainly the most immediate contact that you can get with one of our advocates. It's manned 24/7, and anybody can call that, and it's confidential. So there's so many different scenarios out there, but we work with law enforcement. So law enforcement's probably our front lines, especially in Blount County, but Knox County as well, where an officer may be on the scene of a crime or a domestic call, and that law enforcement agent will have the victim call us immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they need to seek refuge at that point, then our law enforcement agencies are all such good partners of ours. They'll provide transportation so that it's safe transportation, and we will meet them and get them into the safe house.
The whole concept of a community organization that is not a government organization is very appealing to me on many levels, because I know of such organizations that cater to different parts of our community, and that I like that cooperation, because law enforcement knows, well, what are they going to do with the lady? They can't put her in jail to protect
right.
her. Maybe they're in a situation where they can't yet arrest the guy, or he's going to be out on bail or in a short amount of time. So they need someplace safe to put her. And then you're able to, in effect, hide her or create a barrier between her and the abuser. What is that like?
Sure. Our safe house in Blount County is a confidential location. And so when she comes in, and I will point out this, that there are male victims as well. And Haven House, as well as most domestic violence agencies, will also provide services to the male victims, but predominantly, and especially in our area, they are female victims.
Right.
So once she gets into the safe house, she's free. You know, we just make an assessment on her safety. And again, the variables change from person to person that come in. But we assess the safety risk, and then we start working with her on how to make sure that she's safe, her kids are safe. What does she need? Any of the resources she needs? She may need medical treatment, so we make sure that we get her those resources that she needs. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we try to start the process of healing.
And, of course, to do all this stuff, you need to have funds and donations.
Absolutely.
I guess that's where I come in.
It is where you come in. Thursday night, as a matter of fact, on Valentine's Day.
I went last year to the My Funny Valentine party that you threw for to benefit Haven House. And it was at the Capitol Theater in Maryville, and will be again this year on
yes.
Valentine's night. My wife and I had the best time because it was really just a beautiful community event. You had the movers and shakers of Blount County down there. We had an auction. And well, tell us more about what's planned for this year.
Sure. Well, it's 6 o'clock Friday, or Thursday evening on Valentine's Day. And My Funny Valentine, it really is almost kind of a retro go back in time where you can actually bring your Valentine out to a nice
Again,
Capitol Theater.
Retro back in time. No wonder you called me.
And, you know, it's a nice, very, very nice dinner. We'll have prime rib dinner, wine, and you get to sit at a beautiful table in the beautiful atmosphere of the Capitol Theater.
I love that venue.
Oh, it's so pretty. And we'll have a comedy show hosted by yours truly, Frank Murphy, and then dancing. And so very rarely do you get to actually go out on a date like this, and Valentine's Day is perfect for it.
From a performer point of view, the Capitol Theater is gorgeous because I guess it used to be a movie theater back in the day. Well, the whole front half has got like a hardwood floor, so you could have dancing or tables down there. And then the back half, you've got the higher tables for dining and a buffet, and it's mm-hmm. just so they've converted a movie theater into a really good reception space.
Yes, it's beautiful, and it's just top notch food and
of course the stage is great. You get great acoustics in the room from a talker, mm-hmm. or a singer, or anybody up there, and it's just a thrill to be there on both sides of the stage.
And I think too for this event. It's just a little bit different as well because it's very intimate. Like you said, when you have an intimate community like we have anyway, it's just fun to be able to get dressed up, hang out with your friends, and bring your Valentine to this.
You put on Facebook to get your red dress.
I've got mine. How about Jerry? Does she have her red dress yet?
I think she's got something that's reddish. She has a nice pink number. Will that be all right?
Yeah, pink is good. That's a Valentine color. It is a dressy affair. Last year we had men in tuxes, women in formals, and then cocktail as well. So it is a lot of fun to get dressed up.
Okay, well, I'll have to wear my best Bob Eubanks outfit
because yes.
One of your volunteers has written up some great newlywed game type questions for us to play a game with some of the folks who were there that night.
Yes, the Blount County Newlywed Game hosted by Frank Murphy.
And the questions written by Brandy Pearl.
Yes, Brandy is a dear friend of Haven House. She's volunteered for us for the last couple of years. And yes, that's Brandy Pearl that's married to Coach Bruce Pearl. And she has a real passion for the mission that we have. She actually grew up in a home where there was domestic violence, and her mother and she fled when Brandy was about 5 years old from that abusive situation. And so she has a powerful testimony of what it's like to live in a home of violence and a powerful testimony of how courageous her mother was to escape that violence.
And she's able to use her stature in the community to not only raise awareness, but to raise money, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes.
So also, I remember last year you had some of the higher-ups of elected office of Maryville and Blount County in the House, and just everybody who wants to go out and have a good time. It's not too expensive either. I mean,
it's not for
a Valentine's night. It's a good price ticket.
Well, one of the things that we do like about this event is for the men out there, it's really a one-stop shop to get all your Valentines taken care of. The tickets are $125 a couple. But there's a lot of singles that go out there, too. We've got a lot of women and men that are just going out to support Haven House and know that it's a nice, fun event. We'll have the Honorable Judge Robert Hedrick. Judge Hedrick is a wonderful asset that we have in Blount County. He presides over the domestic violence court in Blount County, and so a real advocate in our community.
So he's able to send someone to safety at Haven House directly?
Yes, he can do that. And we have an advocate that's actually in the courtroom in his court.
Mm-hmm.
And so we work really close with the court system and the General Flynn's district attorney's office over in Blount County as well.
Oh, terrific. We're talking about Haven House in Merrillville, which is a shelter for abused women. And Valerie Day is the chief executive officer of Haven House. The big fundraiser, My Funny Valentine, coming up on Valentine's Night again this year at the Capitol Theater in Merrillville. I found it easily on Facebook, but you can also can go to the website havenhousetn.org, which is more about the mission of the house. What's the easiest way to get tickets?
Tickets, you can call our office at 983-6818. And we just have a few left, so if you want to go, make sure you call bright and early Monday morning so we can get those reserved for you.
And what else do you have throughout the year fundraiser-wise? I mean, this is obviously the one I'm familiar with, but it's there's still a whole year ahead.
Sure. Well, we do a lot of smaller fundraising activities all throughout the year. But really, Frank, what we try to focus on is annual giving and donations throughout the year from our corporate partners and through our private donors. Every year, we look for those partnerships that can provide for us to be able to continue the services that we offer. When one in three families are affected by domestic violence, it's a real epidemic in our community, mm-hmm. and it touches everybody. If you're an employer, it's touching your employees.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a principal in a school, it's touching the kids that's in your school. If you're a pastor, it's touching your congregation. And so domestic violence is just rampant right now in our community, and we really need to start doing some things to prevent it.
Well, I've heard about the cycle of abuse and trying to break the cycle of abuse. I'm blessed that I was not in that situation. So to me, I'm looking at it from an outsider and trying to grasp a little bit of what's involved. How does a husband become an abuser? And how does the child of that couple become an abuser and so on? How does that work?
Sure. Well, law enforcement especially will tell you that they see it generational. We know from research that domestic violence is a learned behavior, and it can also be unlearned. But we do know that children that grow up in an abusive situation and an abusive family life are 1,000 times likely to be an abuser themselves.
Hmm.
And that's astounding. And so what we find is that it's the generational where the police officer that used to be a rookie as an officer was calling on the parents, which are now the children grown up. And
oh,
we
no.
see it go around and round and round. So what we try to do is we know because it's a learned behavior, we try to get it unlearned when mm-hmm. they're still young.
Right.
We try to do prevention and education in the school system. Again, in just community outreach, especially the churches, Blount County, East Tennessee.
Because that's true that someone an abused victim is likely to confide in might be the pastor.
Sure, absolutely. And they're close enough to the family where they can recognize some of the signs. But it's important that pastors, employers, principals, that they know what those signs look like.
Well, speaking to employers then, let's talk about some of the visible signs, which are not, it's not always going to be a bruise. It's going to be something else, some pattern of behavior that you may notice in one of your employees and think, oh, she may be not just physically abused, but emotionally abused at
home.
Sure,
sure. And actually, it most likely will not be a bruise. Abusers are very good about hiding the abuse when it becomes physical. Mm-hmm. But some of the signs that you'll see are where someone wants to isolate themselves, where their mood swings, where, you know, they're very happy. And then the next couple of days, they're very mousy or they just very kept to themselves.
Yeah.
And when you ask them about things, they don't really have a good answer to why they're acting like they are.
Because they're covering up.
Right, they're covering up.
But they don't want to lie, but they can't tell the truth.
Exactly. And some of the other things that you'll see is obsessive texting now, where the husband or the abuser is, where are you? Where are you going? Who are you with? And phone calls, obsessive phone calls
mm-hmm.
is another sign. And so there's all these just very subtle signs, but here's what I tell everybody.
The phrase short leash comes to mind.
Yes.
And that also is so repellent because it puts in mind this dominance versus ownership of the wife or
sure.
treating the wife like a dog, which is where the term short leash would come from. And that's
absolutely.
Just so just, ugh.
It's, well, it's horrible. And if you can imagine, it's very demeaning and demoralizing. And at some point, you just almost feel hopeless and helpless. But one of the things that I tell groups when I talk to them is that if you suspect it, and you know, sometimes it's just that gut feeling, that yeah. intuition that you have, if you suspect it and you're like, oh, I don't know, it's probably not that bad. Trust me, it's 10 times worse. Because
wow.
if it's being noticed, because domestic violence is one of those secrets that everybody likes to keep hidden between in the home,
mm-hmm.
That if you're seeing signs of it, think about what it is in the home.
You're seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
That finally has started to be shown after years of being hidden.
And it's just, and again, it's one of those things where you go, if you think that it's not as bad as you think it is, it's 10 times worse. And so just remember that when you feel that intuition. And then what do you do if you suspect somebody? How do you help them?
Right.
What I tell everybody is the best thing that you can do to help them is to call one of our advocates, because every case is different. And you can call our hotline at 865-982-1087, even if you suspect a friend of yours or somebody that's in church, and talk to one of our advocates. And again, you don't have to divulge any names or any information.
You can explain specifically what you see in your friend.
Right.
And then the advocate can say, well, you are on the right path. Here's what to do.
Yes. And a lot of it comes down to safety first. And here's why. One of the things that most people have a hard time understanding is, if they're abusive, why don't they just leave? But the fact is that 75% of all the murders that are domestic violence related happens when the woman is leaving.
Because it's about that control.
That's the most dangerous time. And so many times that will not be the first thing that we suggest is to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, again, we can assess the situation and then determine what is the best plan for that person based on their own safety risk.
Wow. We're talking about domestic abuse, and I'm using that term rather than saying violence, because we're also talking about emotional abuse.
Sure.
And a shelter in Maryville in Blount County to help victims of that. It's Haven House. Valerie Day is the chief executive officer. We've talked about raising money, and I also want to hear about some of the success stories you've had, because obviously, you know, you've been doing it for 30 years, or the Haven House has been doing it for 30 years, and things, as tragic as each case is, there have to be some some that have happy endings.
Well, sure. And we do have some happy endings. But it's a struggle. You know, the women and children that come through our safe house are the most vulnerable in our community. So when you think of a domestic violence victim, they're also homeless. They probably, because of their cycle of abuse, don't have any financial means themselves. They probably have very little resources around them or support, because that's part of the cycle, is to isolate them from other support mechanisms.
And the reason that they are all of those qualities is because they have just fled their home.
Yes.
Fled the source of income and fled that controller that who kept them separate from their friends and family.
Mm-hmm. And we see it every, you know, in Blount County. Thursday is our domestic violence court with Judge Hedrick. And you see it almost weekly, where the abuser, you know, the court system works. The abuser is going to jail or to prison for what he has done. But then you have there a mother with two small children that just lost their breadwinner.
Mm. Wow.
So, you know, so it's kind of a double-edged sword. So now the good guys win, but she's being re-victimized again, because now she's having to try to figure out how is she going to survive without the breadwinner there. And we help do mm-hmm. that for them. We help connect them with the resources that are needed. You know, many of the donations that we receive go straight to the victims that we serve, in the form of, you know, maybe they just want to go back to where their mom and dad or their family or their support system is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll buy them a bus ticket.
Okay.
To get home, wherever that is.
Nice.
And that's what their success is just getting back to where they should be and where they could succeed and thrive.
In the fall, the YWCA in downtown Knoxville does a campaign asking men to stand up against domestic violence. How is their mission similar to yours, and how is their mission different from yours?
Sure. Actually, they're very similar. The YWCA is just a larger agency than ours. So they have the opportunity to do a lot of many more things within the community because it's Knox County. But much of what they stand for is what we stand for, too, especially when it comes to men. One of the things that I feel passionately about is that I love that the community rallies around the victims that we serve and that they support Haven House, which supports the victims. But I truly feel that until the men of this community step up and no longer tolerate it within their peers and hold other men accountable, that we will never see a decrease in those statistics. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we've been able to start working on in Blount County. Actually, Blount County football and basketball rule our county.
Yes, of
and
course.
So I was just so proud of the athletic coaches from the high schools stepping up this fall during that same type of campaign. And they stepped up and said, real men don't hit. And this is what we're talking about. So we had Coach George Quarles, the Maryville High School, go Reps, and Coach Bruce Pearl. Mm-hmm. Coach Lambert, 30-year veteran, a hero in Blount County from Maryville College, and several of the other basketball and football coaches in Blount County stepped up and led the rally to talk to their athletes and say,
"That's great.
You know, we're not going to tolerate this. Mm-hmm. And if you know of somebody that's doing it, you need to hold them accountable." So I feel strongly that the men in our community really have to step up and be the champions of this issue as well.
By reaching out to the youth, that's the way to break the cycle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Beautiful. We are talking about domestic abuse with Valerie Day, the Chief Executive Officer of Haven House in Maryville. And we can kind of, in our minds, because of movies and TV, picture that classic domestic abuse situation with the husband and the wife. Now, I've known from reading some of your press releases over the past 2 years that you've also had to deal with the issue of human trafficking through Haven House, but it's not just you. It's now becoming something that law enforcement is dealing with and that other community-based organizations similar to yours are dealing with for different levels, because the phrase human trafficking is as big an umbrella as the phrase abuse. There's so many different angles of it. Could you touch on that and what it is that Haven House has done to help human
Sure.
trafficking victims?
Absolutely. Human trafficking, I think we really started seeing this in the East Tennessee region probably about 3 years ago. And it's just started seeping in where no one really could identify it as human trafficking initially.
Because you have the labor side of it.
Yes.
Where you have people who come to work at a factory that cuts up chicken or a field that grows tomatoes or whatever, and their green cards are taken away from them. So they are now imprisoned, if you will.
Absolutely.
Their ability to move freely is taken away from them. Even they may you know, go to work and go home, but they can't leave the
Sure.
town. That's an example of human trafficking that we wouldn't normally think about. But let's move also into the other side of it, the sex trade and the abuse side of it.
Sure. And it's, again, it's just something that... It's overwhelming, to be honest. If you look at it from a business model, and that's what it is, human trafficking is a business model for the people that are illegally doing this. It's the same as the drug trafficking model, where the commodity, as opposed to being drugs, is now people.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is it's actually more lucrative opportunity for the people that engage in this type of activity. Because the commodity can be used and used and used over and over again.
Right, because what you're selling is their labor.
Yes.
Whether it be as a farm worker or as a prostitute.
Yes. And so, therefore, it can be reused and it's more lucrative from a financial standpoint. But also, currently, the punitive areas with the law enforcement and the judicial system is not as harsh as if you were trafficking drugs.
Wow.
So the legislative end of this is trying to catch up with what is really going out on the streets. But mm-hmm. right now, to traffic cocaine, you get harsher penalties than if you traffic a 10-year-old girl.
And ironically, it's probably easier to cross a human being across
yes.
the border, to bring a human being in from Asia, from South America, from wherever, than it is to bring in a load of drugs. I mean, yes, of course it happens, but I mean, just think about how easy you could walk somebody across the line and then steal their green card from them, and that's that.
Absolutely. And a lot of the human trafficking is not even from across the border. It's young girls and people from inside the country as well, or other countries too. And one of the things that we've seen in East Tennessee is the fact, just like drug trafficking, because we're on the I-40, I-75 corridors, we get a lot of the transient traffic. And so what we find is we don't house a lot of the human traffickers. We house the end users of the human traffickers.
Okay.
Here, you want me to say that again?
Yeah, because, all right, so the people who are engaging in the trafficking, they're passing through.
Yes.
They're based elsewhere.
Right.
But we get a lot of the, they're passing through our area because of the interstate system.
Yes.
So the people who live here are the, so the buyers, not
yes,
the sellers.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so again, right now, our legislative hasn't stepped up and gotten to reach the same level of what the abuses and the punitives are not matching what the actions are. And so we're working on that. And I know Nashville is addressing that a lot right now.
Well, I saw a presentation on this recently by an FBI special agent. It was talking about how in this particular case of a sex trade situation, the seller would shuttle the women around between here and Lexington and another way up 81 somewhere,
sure.
Morristown, I think. And they was shuttling people around these various locations so that there was always a fresh supply of, the victims to be sold, you know, as prostitutes or, and also you have that situation in farm workers. It's a little different, but in this particular ring of trafficking, the girls would be moved from town to town every 2 weeks.
Sure. And that's exactly what happens. And so how we see that at Haven House, and I'm sure the YWCA and other agencies, is the ones that get dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, we have had them dropped off at the interstate split. And,
yeah.
And you know, law enforcement gets there and they call us to provide services.
That's why, let me speak to all the truck drivers out there across the country. A lot of the success stories in rescuing human trafficking victims have been reported at truck stops by drivers who say that something doesn't look right.
Right.
And they speak up, and next thing you know, a girl is saved from this this trafficking ring because a trucker noticed that, you know, she shouldn't be there. She's too young to be there. What's she doing?
That's amazing, too. And again, it goes back to that gut feel, that intuition. If you think something's not right, more than likely it's not right.
All right. We are talking with Valerie Day. Haven House is the organization. The website is havenhousetn.org. And the big benefit, the fun time coming up on Valentine's night, My Funny Valentine. Still opportunities to participate. And I hope we'll have a great time out there.
Oh, we'll have a blast.
And the money that we raise this coming Thursday night, where does that immediately go to? What's the first thing you're going to spend it on?
Well, the wonderful thing about Haven House is dollar for dollar, I mean, about 85 cents of every dollar goes directly to the victims that we serve.
That's really good.
I mean, if you think about it, at any given time, we have 20 family members in our safe house that are being fed, that are being clothed, that are being provided transportation. So your dollars go straight to providing those services for them.
Oh, that's fantastic. So the plan for the year ahead, before we see you again next Valentine's, what's on the horizon for growth and expansion?
Good question. And actually, one of the things that we're really going to be focusing on this year is that education and prevention piece of it.
I love it.
We do a great job of providing services to the victims. Now we've got to turn that same emphasis over to the prevention and education.
Right. And use the coaches campaign
yes.
again, I hope.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Seems really strong. And that could be something that could easily be expanded
sure.
to every high school and middle school in Blount County, I
absolutely.
Think. Wow. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, Valerie Day.
Well, thank you, Frank Murphy, for having us.
And I'll see you. My wife and I will be happy to be with you on Thursday night, Valentine's night, for My Funny Valentine at the Capitol Theater in Merrillville, a benefit for Haven House. And, of course, you can reach out and contribute and make a part of your annual giving if you do want to help the victims of domestic abuse right here in our own community, especially in Blount County. Go to the website, havenhousetn.org. And that is your homework assignment, by the way. I want you to see that button that a potential victim would have to click on to hide what she's doing from her abuser. And it really will bring home that simple process, will put you in her shoes for a split moment and make you feel, you know, how important this is for our community.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome. Valerie Day, Chief Executive Officer of Haven House in Maryville. Thank you for being here. This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.